Good morning. As we continue to gather, as the buses roll in, that's supposed to be funny. As we gather, though, in God's house, as God's people, let's sing together. You may remain seated. Our gathering hymn is number 618, and we'll sing the first two verses. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We do welcome all to this time and place of worship. I want to especially welcome any who may be worshiping with us for the first time or those of you who may be back after some time away. It is good to have you here. It looks as though some people have lingered after a presbytery meeting that never ended, and they're still here. But it's really good. I see Barbara Rogers and Sid Gates and family here. Welcome. It's really wonderful to have you here. And the Shufords, Hillary and Harry, welcome to you as well. Let me also extend the celebration of welcome to some of our newest members received in by our session this past Tuesday. And if you're here, not everyone I don't think is, but if you are here, if you would just briefly stand so we can see who you are and then greet you well following this service of worship. But Charles and Nan Cantrell are in the back. Welcome to both of you. So good to have you with us here at Covenant. And then also by transfer of membership formally from Central Presbyterian Church, Katie Terry and Mike Swanson, Paige Cummings, Helen Epps, and Chris Wilson. We are thrilled that you are now formally on our rolls. Been in our midst and hearts for some time. Welcome. Let me continue this celebration of welcome by welcoming to our pulpit today the Reverend Jimmy Hawkins. Jimmy is the director of the Office of Public Witness of the PCUSA. He is with us from the Washington, D.C. area where his family lives. And Jimmy was our preacher and keynote speaker yesterday at our presbytery meeting and just offered a wonderful Sunday school class on the good work and mission going on by our Office of Public Witness. And we are delighted that he is with us this day. So, Jimmy, welcome. Mm. We are entering in the season of Lent. This is the first Sunday in Lent as we begin this journey with Jesus through wilderness times, through times where healing is needed, where hungry people need to be fed. We are entering times where he is facing the powers that be in Jerusalem and then ultimately facing a cross along with the promise of resurrection. So I'm glad we are here together as we begin that journey. Much is going on where we can be together, both in service and worship and mission. I invite those of you now who may have announcements to that effect to come forward and please use our microphone and make those announcements. So, Pam.
There we go. Don't want to miss this one. This week you should be getting a letter that has information about next year's proposed budget and pledge cards, which you can return to the church. I think there will also be a very nice letter from Mark in there to talk about it. You'll notice that the budget for this coming year is substantially higher than last year, and we have a couple of one-time purchases, including the possibility of getting a new instrument for our worship center. Betsy does a beautiful job on it, but it really takes a beating from the changes in temperatures in here, and it's hard to keep in tune, so we're looking into that. And there's also, of course, as you know, been an increased request from the neighborhood, from the community, for help with food and other items, and so that's one of the other things that will probably be going up this year. So once we get the pledges in, we'll, of course, do a revised budget and let you know about that. If you got any questions, you're welcome to email me or contact me. And we will have our stewardship luncheon, I believe, on March 22. So that's 4 weeks from now. So you can look for more information about that in the newsletter.
I'm sure you've been missing my announcements during the past few weeks when I have not been able to be here. It's a pleasure to be back and make announcements again. The graduate gaming group, G3 group, will meet on Tuesday, day after tomorrow. We have lots of fun. We have a dedicated core group of game players, and we'd love to have some extra people. So come Tuesday morning, 10 o'clock, and bring some games and some friends.
Well, as Mark said, people in this community are hungry and do need to be fed. And so I'm coming to you again to ask one of the ways in which Covenant addresses that is through our emergency food pantry, where people can come and get a bag or two of groceries. We do that Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays from 1 to 4. And we need volunteers to help that. You basically wait, and as they come in, you greet them and then fill the grocery bag from our pantry with food. It's a way to fellowship with the people in the community as to help them. We have a online sign-up sheet, but I know a lot of people don't want to do online sign-up. So my hope is that you'll get so tired of me coming up here and saying this that we'll expand our volunteer base. If you don't want to do the online, at the Engage after church today, you can sign up a sheet there. You can come and talk to me, and I'll take your information down. And it's just, if you could just sign up for one time, 3 hours a month even, would be just great. Thank you.
Thank you. That's a nice segue just to highlight an announcement that is on the front page of the newsletter. By the way, you can pick up a paper copy or you can read it online. Following this service of worship, all are invited into our fellowship hall. There will be a nice light lunch offered by members of the session. And then we invite you to engage with your gifts, your dreams and passions, with work that we sense is already being undertaken by God in our community. So this is not the same thing as joining a committee, but it's letting us know where you feel like God's Spirit is working in you. So if you like to cook, or if you like to garden, or if you like to fix stuff, engage with us. Let us know. There will be tables set up staffed by members of our session to hear about your interests and passions, and we will try and come together as a more cohesive community responding to what God's already up to. So please join us today. God is in this place. I invite us now to engage our minds, our hearts, our bodies with God as we enter into a time of worship. Let us join together in the litany for the presentation of our communion elements. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice. Shout for joy, O righteous ones. Yet I know my faults. My sin is ever before me. Scripture says we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus, the Word of God made flesh, told his disciples to give the hungry something to eat. What do you bring to this table? Thanks be to God. Now please join me in our call to worship. O Christ, out of your fullness we have all received grace upon grace. You are patient and full of mercy. Let us worship God. I want to invite the children who are here to come forward. You're not going to beat River. Not going to do it. Come on up. If you do have offerings to share, this goes in our fish bowl. This goes to help replenish our food pantry, which you heard a little bit about earlier. So thank you so much for being so generous. And we're going to ask Sally Hale to do our reading for us today. Can you get it?
Before I read, I'm going to speak for about 15 minutes on Genesis. No, she's kidding. I do have a question for you children. When you are read the scripture up front, Do you pay a lot of attention to it? You can be honest. No. No. Okay. Well, I get that. But I would suggest that you do pay attention to it because, for one thing, if for no other reason, our country and our culture has been strongly influenced by the Bible in all ways. And so it's good to be informed and educated about what's in the Bible. So, this is only 3 verses. Okay? So, pay attention. Okay? This is about the Garden of Eden. Have you heard of the Garden of Eden? Have you? Thank you. Then the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and guard it. He told him, "You may eat the fruit of any tree in the garden except the tree that gives knowledge of what is good and evil. You must not eat the fruit of that tree. If you do, you will die the same day." Wow, this is an interesting translation.
Can you keep that? You dropped the mic on that one. Boom. Good morning. I'm so glad to see you all. How are you? Okay? Afraid about what you're going to eat now, right? Well, that's true. There are things that we can eat that don't do very well with us. They make us awfully sick. Some things we have reactions to.
Grass.
You've been trying that lately? A little bit? Okay. Yeah, I don't do real well with that either. I think part of the interesting, one of the interesting verses, though, really in this passage is that when the world began, according to Genesis, did you hear where God put us? Where?
If you eat grass, you will get sick.
You're right. If you eat grass, you will get sick.
I rolled in the grass and I got an itch.
And you got an itch from rolling in it. But you were outdoors. And that's kind of where God put us, right? It says God put us in the garden. Now in the Garden of Eden. But I also think that can kind of mean God put us in this world. How many of you have a garden at home or have seen one? I know some of you are around them because I know what some of your parents and grandparents do. They're great gardeners. So they use, sometimes they might use something like this, right? Little digging trowel or something to plant flowers or bulbs, maybe vegetable seeds that will come up later. What?
Maybe if you do eat, do that, your mother will get sick too.
Oh, no, we don't want your mother to get sick if you eat things that you shouldn't eat. But I like that idea that one of the places where God wants us to be is in this world. And if you're a gardener, you've got to take care of your garden, right? Right? Because sometimes weeds come up, and they make it hard for the plants that we want to come up to grow, for the vegetables and the flowers to grow. So we have to take care of it. We have to spend time with it and pay attention. Sometimes gardens don't have to be real big, do they? They can be just as big as this little area right here, and you can grow tomatoes and all kinds of good things. Can I show you another idea of a garden?
Yes.
Can we do that?
Yeah.
All right. Come here. We're going to walk over here. Come on. Bye, y'all.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone. See you in like 10 hours.
Can I come too?
Yes. No, I just want you to look outside. What if this is part of our garden? What do you think?
Can you see?
This is part of our world. Don't go too far.
Don't go past Ada Brock.
Come on back. I know. Come on. Come on. But this is part of our world, and we have to take care of it too. All right? So I think we got it. I think part of what we're hearing today is that the garden can be our whole world. It's everything. It's everything. It's the trees and the grass and the birds. It's the people that are out there. Maybe have a big job in front of taking care of our big garden of this earth. But we still can take care of it and make it wonderful and beautiful and full of life again. Okay? So let's listen to Genesis and listen to God and do what we can. Trash, growing every part and helping the people we meet to eat those good things. All right? Thank you for looking with me and caring with me too. Let's sing.
Christ in the world as this chalice here, this cup. Most chalices are defined up here. Some of them are battered. Some of them are broken. At the least, some of them are cracked. All of them, however, are earthen vessels. And yet, these cups still, what I like to imagine, all of those that when we offer up our prayer requests, the joys and concerns, we place them in that chalice. And then I like to imagine us, as we're praying, lifting those chalices heavenward so that all of those joys and concerns that float up and out, who responds, as I welcome hearing from you this day and every day. So I'm going to invite you to offer up some joys and concerns that we can put into those imaginary chalices so that this community can pray for you and your life. So are there joys?
I just like to ask for prayer for Stephanie Cato and her family, her mother's loss from the Spirit Hill. And so she's traveling up there to see her mom. She's here visiting from North Carolina.
All right. Prayers for Stephanie Cahill, whose mom is in hospice at this point. Is she in hospice? And for your cousin?
Hospital.
And she's going to hurry back from the Puerto Rican mission trip. All right. And please pray that whatever happens today. So we've been praying for you and your son, for a good month. Some of those prayers did well with daycare, and that's pretty safe. And so now we've got some other issues that you would like for us to keep in mind. We will absolutely do that. Such a treasure. Prayers for the Bagwell family. Oh, I'm so sorry for the unexpected death, really, of your cousin.
I would like
Nathan.
Pray for all of your many cards and notes and emails and phone calls and visits. And today, actually, your flowers are glued back together. You're in my place.
Just great joy that you're back. Great joy that you're back. Pam? Oh, so when it rains, it's exactly going Evan's girlfriend. Oh my God. Got two job offers. Dick? And I think we do this especially well, is surround someone as wonderful and committed as Paula. Zeb? She...
Everyone's in here now.
Yeah. we'll hear the real joy. Okay, go for it, Ben. Even the angels are clapping. Yeah. Look.
George Pleasanter. They were from Augusta. I have a concern and a celebration, and they are one. I was talking with Jimmy about this yesterday. Hillary was at our recent, but when it's come out that why Dr. King, we are producing a film that's looking at interfaith aspects of eco-justice. We know there are films out there with science, outdoors, looking at truths, what have you. No really good films that bring
Thank you, Sid. I don't need to recap this, but I do need to invite you to join this congregation. Saying, read your sentiments, and I think you'd fall over as a missionary here. Hillary?
I want to say just a great word of thanks to this congregation for hosting the Presbytery meeting yesterday. It was fabulous. For inviting Jimmy Hopkins to give me the word today and for this afternoon in prayer for continue. Tomorrow morning we're driving down to the Rural Life Center in Keysville, and then we'll be back at the Presbytery Student Center for another keynote workshop on Monday afternoon. You all were invited to that. But I just
Delinda.
I'm going to do this as she does. I'm here at Care Hat of Flood Competitions. And as one of the there are wins to move up to advance. And that's your ultimate goal. So she's basically like six wins away from being advanced in all the categories. So we just want to celebrate that. And she continues to do well. She'll be going to Nationals again.
That is an incredible. To support. Catherine?
I would like to ask for prayers for my sister-in-law, Brenda, who lives in Malone, and I think I've told people this before. I'm a good woman with pancreatic cancer. Some kind of medication can be told will slow it down, it won't cure it, so we are putting great hope in that for more time.
Absolutely. So for Catherine's time of prayer, all in law, when a Holzhauser, she did not undergo surgery last week for her torn rotator cuff as we had hoped. She encountered some issues when she got into the surgical arena. So that surgery then are your cards, Lee, but prayers, your cards. She would like phone calls, but she would especially like your visit. She is as you can imagine, when you're at home, you just like to see some fresh faces, some new conversation. And she's delightfully planned. So, if you, and now let us pray. Week or the next couple. See. O God of wisdom and goodness, God of mercy and joy, God of holiness and hope, God of freedom and love, the world. Out of the abundance of your, the prerogatives of your Son Christ, into you have entered into the poverty of our humanness. Out of the enormity of your power, you have become, for the sake of astounds, weak, defies us. More than we can comprehend, we find ourselves at a loss to understand such a wonder. Overwhelmed by the awesomeness of such a reality, we are tempted in fear, derision, to when our backs are as yet unknown in life, or we can no longer deal with the complexities of our existence. That you should care for us and for all people, that it should matter to you what happens to us, that you should wait with bated breath for our return, world defies our sense of you, nor when what we seems to give a care, scream. O God of creation who meets us in the shadows of the garden, don't give up on us in our bewilderment and perplexity. Don't abandon us in our ignorance and blindness. Have mercy upon us in our world. Rebellion, steadfast love, the gift of yourself, the gift of hope and wholeness and the possibility of peace within our own spirits and among the Lord with your sons of the earth. And your healing word. Walk, upset our neatly packaged stereotypes about life and ourselves and others and you until we cannot help but be open and teachable before your truth revealed in your Son, Jesus, and life. Dare us to believe your control is ultimate, still in expression of goodness, compassion, truth, justice, and beauty. And then help us to take up that dare and to live in the light of that conviction by fleshing out in our own lives and relationships that same compassion and mercy and forgiveness, same passion which you are embodied for all time in the life of the one born in the back ward of the world and who conquered death and resurrection. that all people might experience the healing of their brokenness once more to us, even now, even here. This we pray in the name and spirit of the Jesus of the wilderness and of the Christ of Calvary. Hallowed be thy name to say together, kingdom come, thy who art in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and glory forever.
Our Old Testament scripture 39 lesson through 10. Found in the book is 39, 1 through 10. Now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar brought him from the officer of Pharaoh, brought him down there. An Egyptian, the Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. And he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed and attended him. Hands made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and all over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all Joseph's charge. In house of him, he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and eyes on Joseph. And after a time with me, but he refused to his wife and said to his master's wife, behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, a new testament to her is found in the gospel, is written by the gospel writer Luke in the 6th chapter, verses 27 through 36. Luke 6, 27 through 36. But I say to you who hear, love your curse you. Do good to those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs them from you. And from one who that other goods, do not do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those, for even them. And if you do good, and if you lend to those, what benefit is you expect to receive? What credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting sons in return. For God is kind, great, grateful, and the evil. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Gracious God, continue to bless us, Holy Spirit, time of worship. You filled with your Spirit, you filled in truth, that we may be hearers and doers of your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'd like to say a word of graciousness for all of the hospitals. Open up the door that I have received here. Just felt so welcoming from your Georgia Presbyter this time here. And really motivated and inspired by the ministries in which you are engaged in this congregation, the ways in which you have an open heart for those. New greetings from our stated clerk, the Reverend Dr. J. Herbert Nelson. Also greetings from our office and from our staff, and pray that we can be in partnership with this congregation in the years to come to look at ways that we can engage advocacy and ways that we can a little daunting or quite in which we here today. We have, I know, just a congregation full of academics and individuals who are engaged in your community. It reminds me of the story back when I was pastoring, and I used to pastor Covenant Presbyterian Church in Durham, North Carolina, familiarity, an 8:30 service here. But I remember once I got ready to preach, and the choir director came to me and said, well, you know, I know you've got to go, but I've got a situation I need for you to handle. I said, well, you know, I'm just about to walk out the door. She said, no, you understand that Elder's one of the pillars of the church, just so engaged in the life of the church. She said, no, Elder Tom can't sing a lick. He doesn't know the word. They told me songs, and he come before you leave, you're not going to have a choir. Throwing everybody back. So I stopped by his house, and I was talking with him. I said, well, you know, Tom, I understand that you joined the choir. Yes, Pastor, I've always wanted to join the choir. I'm going to be honest with you. I've always had a song in my heart, wanted to sing. I said, you know, I used to, what about the stewardship for years? No, I'm not going back. Need a stewardship committee. I said, well, what about the evangelism committee? You know, we really need to bring souls to Christ. Pastor, you know, I just got off the evangelism committee. I'm not going back. I said, look, Tom, I got to go. And I just need to break it down to you. The word congregation is you are is that you can't sing. He's all pastor you, so I'm going for it. It's just a joy to be here. It can be, again, intimidating, but God has a word for all of us today. Please consider with me the sermon. We have this interesting passage in Luke. And what makes it fascinating is that as good Christians, I know we read the Bible all of the time, and so we're very familiar with the way the Gospels are laid out. Even Luke and is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. As a matter of fact, Matthew and Luke first followed, used Mark as one of the references, and Luke was written after Matthew, and so he used Matthew as a reference. And you really see the similarities in these verses that we have here today. Both Matthew and Luke use 1 and 2 to talk about through the Jesus, to tell the story. Even though Matthew, how it was the three wise men, and Luke, the person, we know that by 3 and 4, they both deal with the temptation of Christ and talks about his ministry and all of the healings that he did and calling his disciples 2 by 2 and then all 12. Now, we're very familiar with Matthew 5 and statements, the blessed are in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, when Luke read that, when we get to chapter 6, Luke says, well, let me the two sets of, you know, what I have here in mind. Actually, he altered it, condensed the, he, rather than saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, he said, blessed are the poor, period. Blessed are those who mourn, period. And Luke is one of the gospels that has a special concentration in this ministry on presenting us with the Savior of the poor, a Lord Savior of the poor, Jesus of the poor. Luke is a Gentile. He's not Jewish, so he has a special interest in a universal Christ who is opening and welcoming to all who will come before him, a subtitle of. Also, it's a gospel of Luke 8, 1 through 3, mention of women, gives the names of women who are integral in Christ's ministry, says that they minister for him and the 12. Luke talks about Mary and Martha and how intimate they were in the life of Christ. It also has a sub-theme of the gospel of the Holy Spirit. When he engages in Jesus goes into ice led by the Spirit. So he is, it's really a unique of the, is unique in the four Gospels. In many ways, one of my favorites, but even though they all have a different message to tell, but we have a concentration here where he takes a lot of attitudes, and then he talks about have no anxiety, and he jumps straight to this very difficult passage. And I'm convinced that this passage that we have here is one that we have all heard, and one Jesus opens all ignore your enemies. Challenging. Pray for those who persecute you. He says, if someone strikes you on the left cheek, turn to him the right cheek and let them hit you again. And in that day, if a Roman Matthew's verse demanded you would come out, carry it for another back. He says, if someone asks for you your coat, do not ask for it back. And he does a comparison. He says, because if you don't do these things, if you only help people whom you love, if you only lend to those who are part of your community. So we have here a challenge by Jesus that I think that we really need to study and to look at the value system that we are called to. to appropriate as Christians, traded the life. Because I'm very concerned, church has become in many values resembling the political separations that we have in this country today. And as I go around the country talking to churches, I'm amazed with one of the first descriptions that pastors will oftentimes give me. It's a political one. Well, Reverend, they all are a red church. They'll say, we are a blue church, okay? We got, remember, I'm from both sides of the aisle. Well, we had that anyway before the politics came involved. But we are called to understand that we are not political. We're not political. We are to be engaged in politics. But we cannot allow the political self of this church, you are a child, to infuse. Our primary identity is that of a Christian. Of a Christian. Everything else is a subset. As a matter of fact, in my life, I am a father. I am a side. I am to my identity. But the one that is primary is my Christian identity. Every other identity finds meaning in that title. I am a better father because of the teachings of Jesus Christ. I am a better husband because of the worry, my relationship, and the leading by God. The environment that we call the creation, that are built by the hand of God, and therefore we're called to be good stewards because the world does not belong to us. It belongs to God, and we are called to manage it and to care for it and to provide for it. Jesus Christians is saying to us that this is a saved city in his name, but it's through the grace of God. Salvation is a gift to each one of us. We did not earn it. I don't know about how long we have not that brings us close to our youth or God. And it's a gift that all of us have received, but it's also a responsibility. For that which we have been given, we're called to return to this world. That if God has forgiven you your sin, calls you to be a new being in Christ, it is our responsibility to see that others are able to turn their lives around to be new beings in Christ. If we have been blessed with resources and with the whole gifts with others, with a new understanding in Jesus Christ, response that contrary to the understanding of the world, we didn't earn our salvation, but it has been given to us. To be a Christian means that we're governed by one rule and one rule alone. Heart, the commandment to love with all of our Lord our God. Everything that we have, yes, to God's gift of transformation and of grace, but also to use it to transform this world in which we live. I'm very familiar with university towns. My wife is a graduate of the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill, her two sons, Chapel Hill, probably the University of North Carolina, 10th of the population of Aspen. And I still remember, I lived most of my adult life in Durham, North Carolina, right down the street from Duke University. So tickets to go to meet the, still remember the time that UNC, and my son, who was a Duke fan, decided that on that day, he's going to go meet UNC's football team with his Duke t-shirt on. And of course, my wife said, oh, no, that's not happening today. But we're called to understand the talents that the university brings. So many benefits. But there are also an opportunity to make sure that the resources of the university and the resources of the community are distributed towards all. There's immense prosperity here in this city, but there also are limits to the striving newspaper. According to problems facing the city, and I quote it, poverty is a serious issue in Athens. The 2010 census reported that a growing poverty rate of 37.8%, according to a recent report by your own, well, Adams, city are getting worse. University of Georgia lost access to health care. Between 2016 and 2018, the uninsured rose from 13% to 19%, burdened by their unaffordable housings, or fearing that they will be in poverty in the next 3 months. Many lower-income families do not have access to child care. And matters are only complicated by the state of Georgia's ban on rent control, which ensures a rise in which are inhabited each year, but which permanent residential apartments afford. Income inequality is a major cause of rising poverty, and wages in this country, despite the strong economy, have not really seen an increase for the average wage of Americans of the state over the last 40 years. Riverville Road, and also reported on this, of Athens walled off from the community of the city in an institutionally racist and segregated fashion. that racial economic inequality contributes to poverty in Athens, the state of Georgia, and nationally. And Anthony Sorokin, a professor at UGA School, embedded in building that, quote, impeded in building wealth, such as redlining policies that prevented black families from buying homes in particular neighborhoods. These lack of minority intergenerational, yet that the unionist workers, African Americans, comprise 44.1%, most barely earning above minimum wage. The city in which you live, what do you see? Lives. God has, which when we go to work, we see men and women who are homeless walking up and down the street. That when we go and live in our neighborhoods, we notice not just who lives there, but who does not have an opportunity to live there. With all in schools, I myself have areas in life. As a Presbyterian minister, I have been given full health care. My wife worked at a large pharmaceutical while we were back in North Carolina, GSK, and she also had health care. As a matter of fact, her coverage was better than my own. He was stricken with meningitis, and he had to stay for 2 weeks in Duke Hospital, and then we had to take him down to Greenville, North Carolina for pediatric rehab, and he had to stay there for a month and a half. But it was still a problem. When he came out of the hospital, his right eye was closed. The left side, two seizures and a stroke. And I still remember that during the course of his treatment, because I would drive down and be with him during the course of the week and then drive back to Durham to preach on Sundays. And we looked at the bill that was mounting, and it was up to $300,000. Both had health in North Carolina when back in 2010, when the state refused to sign on to the ACA. It caught my attention, the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. And the legislator says, well, you know, we're going to not sign on because we don't want the state president telling us what to do. Well, you know, I think the government, and I still think we need to look into, but by that Monday, someone had obviously had a conversation with him because he came out in a strong defiance. He says, we're not going to the ACA, and it's just all. I remember government's going to be what it would have done to us if we had not had health insurance. And therefore, I strongly believe in universal health care. And every opportunity I get a chance to talk about it, every American should have that most take their children to the doctor. They have some in this country sick and not cost, they cannot pay their medical bills. It makes me concerned with the 500,000 people in North Carolina who are uncovered, who would be covered if the state simply signed on to the ACA, and the 2,800 people who will lose their life each year because of preventable deaths. A people who don't have health care coverage beyond our own people. If God has been good to us, then we say to the world, we are going to do everything we can to share God's blessings as far and as wide as we can. And yes, we are a people of love. And Jesus says, there is no greater allow our politics than a man that influence our faith. Our friend. We allow our faith to influence our politics. That we vote for men and women who have the same values that we see expressed in our faith. That we don't care which party is in control of these, as long as they are making decisions who are all around us. We are the richest nation that the world has ever seen. And yet we have some of the highest levels of poverty that the world has ever seen. Every day I get off the train, nation's capital station, and I have to have eyes that see, men and women, ears that hear, hearts that care. Because everything that we ask of God, God gives to us. We ask for God to love us. God loves us. We ask for God to care about our children and to watch over them. And God always, all God, we ask for God to have done for you and to redirect for others. In Jesus' name, amen.
want to invite those who are part of our Puerto Rican mission team who are here today, who are going to be journeying through Presbyterian Disaster Assistance to spend time with our brothers and sisters in Puerto Rico. The bulletin as we, the rest of you, to them with our hopes and prayers and love on this journey of love. My understanding is we have 15, is it?
13
now.
We have one slot open.
Okay. And for being or going, we thank Unity to present all care for God's garden and to care for and learn from the people that are there. So we thank you and bless you as you travel. Commitment for our and accepting this volunteer in this disaster response work team. Have you been persuaded by the love of God, Christ, and a sincere desire to pray in the...
Do you accept this task, pledging your faithfulness and service and opening your heart for the enrichment which others may share with you?
I do so pledge.
Do you commit yourself as a partner in obedience, sisters, Christ of the one church and with Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, confident...
In humble reliance upon divine grace, do you promise to be faithful and diligent in all you do, to be an example of Christian love, and to serve in hearty cooperation with your mission and ministry?
Members of this church, will you open your hearts to the ministry of these volunteers and pray for them as servants of Christ?
Yes.
Go in peace.
Lent is a time to let the power of our faith story take hold of us, a time to let the events get up and walk around in us, a time to intensify our living unto Christ, a time to hover him over our hearts, see and listen to his word, a time to touch his robe and feel the healing surge through us, a time to wonder, a time to ponder. Lent is a time to allow a fresh new taste of who thirst for joy, are saved for mercy, who yearn for righteousness, who ache for healing, who dream of a house where hope endures, to take a seat at this table where love, like loaves, abound. See and taste that the Lord is good. Grateful for this shared meal, let us greet one another and offer words of peace, the peace of Christ to you. Peace of Christ be with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
I will. Thank you.
are a storied people. And as I reminded the confirmands, this sacrament has some references like this. Hawkins' sermon to the role of women in Luke's gospel. I want to say that we are hearing the words of the first feminist in recorded history. Together in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And I like to believe, I mean, if we're listening to this gospel on the slant, as the poet tells us, that this and those women table. In that story, Jesus takes bread and after blessing it, giving thanks to God for it, he breaks the bread and says, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
The story continues, teaches us that in the same way, Jesus took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant that is sealed in my blood. It is poured out for the forgiveness of sin in remembrance of me." Today, brothers and sisters, we will celebrate this feast, that this sacrament is not how we grace normally celebrate this call supper. We will invite the congregation, as you are able, to come forward to take a piece of the bread offered and dip it into the cup. There is a gluten-free. Today we are going for bread for those that those on the outside sections of the sanctuary, the choir on this side, and those on this side of the congregation, please come first. Please come first. There will be two serving stations in front of you. Turn to your seats. Following that, then we ask those that get in the center sections, beginning with the first rows, to come forward by the center aisle and then return by the side aisles. A feast for us, brothers and sisters. Nourishment for our journey as disciples of Jesus. Come, come now, taste and see that the Lord is good. Let us pray. Thank you, O God. Thank you for giving us everything we need and more. Thank you for filling us with good things, loving us, per friends and our enemies. We pray that by your grace, by the power of your Spirit, that this simple table will extend through the walls, beyond the walls of this community, out into our world, out into our street, through welcome table for all God's children, for all who are hungry and thirsty for justice, for all who are seeking home and a place in the beloved community. We give for these things, mission for this, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks. In response to God's perfect love for us, let us offer back our gifts of so that God's way be revealed. O God, by your grace, and to soar your Holy Spirit, new life and real hope for each person, each place that receives them. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.